It is a time in which we can bring our gifts to Jesus as well. This morning we'll be sitting at his table here in just a few minutes. A great opportunity for us to offer what we have and to recognize that we, in fact, are children of God. We are chosen by him, and that we have that privilege only because of what was already set in motion well before we arrived on the scene. The prophet of old out of Isaiah gives us words today that remind us that Jesus is chosen to be light. We did such a good job of putting away all the Christmas decorations. We also put away the star, but I'm so glad we got it back out this morning. Jesus was chosen to be light, or at least that's what the prophet reminds us of in Isaiah 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away. Your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nation shall come to you. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. Jesus is chosen to be the light. We've been having some very good conversations over at Code Blue Youth Alliance. One of the adult leaders is currently dating a young gentleman who comes from a second generation of being a part of the Jehovah Witnesses. And in our discussions, she has all sorts of questions, and anything that I might ask, they have got an answer already made. And if not, she'll text her boyfriend and get back with me to see how we look at things from the Bible. And she'll have her copy of the Bible, and I'll have my copy of the Bible, and we will compare notes with one another. What we're discovering is there are some things we certainly agree on, that we are here chosen by God to be his witness, and that we have an obligation, in fact, a privilege, to go and be light to the world. But there are a few things that we're not quite coming together on as we go forward. And even the very wording of how I put this, it was, but it's probably dead. Sorry. Yeah, that's okay. No, I got turned off. Thank you. That's okay. I said, yes, I do know that. I said, but you also know that he is God. She said, where does it say that in the scripture? I said, well, okay. So we turned to several different passages. Their version says, and Jesus was a God, or from a God. It's a little bit different. And so that's not what I'm trying to get at here when I say Jesus is chosen to be light. The opportunity there to realize is that Jesus has always been God. He was with us in the beginning. In fact, John chapter 1 gives us a great reminder that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so we have these discussions, and it's been a wonderful opportunity just to continue to try to share God's light. Very dedicated, very devout to what they believe. And really, she's searching. She doesn't know what to believe.
She loves her boyfriend, and her boyfriend loves his parents, who have been brought up in a certain type of teaching. But our privilege is to continue to show Jesus as the light, as the way, the truth. And that the opportunity is that when there are differences, that we can, in fact, be able to see, show, and be light in those situations. Jesus was chosen to be that kind of light. Isaiah talks about this light is not only just for God's people, not only for the Israelites, but this light would be for all nations. And then we are to let that light shine wherever we go. The psalmist goes on and gives us another picture this morning that Jesus is also chosen to be a king. We appreciate Diana reading some of those passages today. It was a prayer of guidance and support for the king. And ultimately, it was a picture of the king to come. And this one that was to be chosen, who would defend the cause of the poor, the people, to deliver those that were in need, to crush oppression, and to live while the sun endures, as long as the moon, throughout all generations. It was another reminder for us that Jesus is chosen to be the ruler, not only of our lives, but of all that there is. He is to be our king. We stopped in at Sheetz this past week, and I was probably buying gas. That's the biggest thing we get from Sheetz, besides those mint chocolate chip milkshakes. I hear they're very good. I sometimes frequent those. Anyway, we buy gas at Sheetz. And so the lady behind the counter, she said, "Could you request prayer at your church for my sister?" I said, "Well, Shana, what's your sister's name? We'd be happy to request prayer for your sister." And she told me her name. It's in our prayer list there as well. And she said she's going in for a procedure on Monday, and we just, I'd like for you to remember her in prayer. What a great privilege it is for us, wherever we find ourselves, to connect with people and let them know who the King really is. They say, "Well, we've got no power in and of ourselves, but we can go to the one that is the ruler of all, and we can bring our requests and let them be known to him." The psalmist goes on to say, "And in his days may righteousness flourish and peace abound until the moon is no more." And we are looking for peace that comes beyond what we will ever see in this world. Jesus was chosen to be the light. He was chosen to be the king, so that we are chosen for both adoption and an inheritance. We follow this one, even as the wise men followed the star to the one. And as we follow him, we find these wonderful words out of Ephesians chapter 3. It's Paul's summary of what it means to worship and to give your life. He says, "This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given to me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it now has been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and shares in the promise of Christ Jesus through this gospel. Paul says, we now all have the opportunity of being adopted into God's family. We are chosen for adoption and to have an inheritance. That's our privilege. It's our privilege to be connected in that way. Adoption means we didn't get there on our own, but we were chosen. We didn't get there by default, but that we were selected. And who is it that is selected? The words that Jesus gave to Nicodemus late at night tell us who, in fact, is selected. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's who has been chosen. And so who's chosen to sit at this table today? Who is it that gets picked to be privileged to sit here? Well, it's also that same one, the one that is the light, the one that is the King that does the choosing even today. We got to spend several days with my mom and dad over the Christmas and New Year's holiday. It's been a few years since we found ourselves in a New Year's situation that I did the first 25 of my 24 years of life. It's something called a New Year's Eve watch service. You ever heard of a New Year's Eve watch service? New Year's Eve watch. I mean, I knew that Christmas Eve was important, but for some reason, New Year's Eve was the deal at Rush Run Baptist Church. I mean, we certainly celebrated Christmas, but what we did on New Year's Eve, you know, it's not that it was more important, but that's when we celebrated what Jesus was all about. We'd bring in singers from all over the area, and we'd start about 7 o'clock on New Year's Eve. And as I recall, it doesn't really happen until midnight, right? Well, you'd always have a couple hours where we'd just have singing, and sometimes we'd get around to preaching, a lot of singing. And then we always have to break in the middle for food. That's exactly right. That we would break in the middle for food. The tables would be lined. And then we'd come back up about 11 o'clock. And then we'd have another part of our service. And right about 5 or 10 minutes till, we'd gather and circle the whole entire sanctuary. And we would either sing or pray or preach the new year, the old year out and the new year in. So when Mom and Dad said they were having a New Year's Eve watch service at Hanley Baptist Church, I said, well, this will be just like I grew up in. Well, this is wonderful. So I said, well, so we're going to gather at about 7 o'clock? Oh, no, that's way too early. We don't gather till 9 o'clock. Oh, okay, that's great, that's great. I said, so we're going to have some singing and preaching and food? He said, oh, yes, and we also play bingo. I said, what? Do we become Catholic? I mean, what's... So here my 83-year-old dad and my 81-year-old mother, they're teaching me some new things as we go. I said, hey, what went in Rome, you know, you do what... So we went over there. They ate first. I see why they started at 9 o'clock over there. They eat first, get that done. We played an hour of bingo, and then we went into our time of worship at 11 o'clock. Great testimony. Two or three different groups, and of course, my family just loved me so much. I said, now what we always did was everybody would come up and we'd sing a song. Of course, they had no idea they were going to come up and sing a song, but they all came up and they sang a song. And then we heard Dad preach. So at 83 years old, he turns over to 2 Corinthians, and he says, it talks about being a new creature and being reconciled with one another. He says, do you know what that means? And he called out this dear lady that was sitting there in the basement of the church. Gertrude, do you know what that means? And she just looked back at him with a blank stare. I'm sure it means something. You know, I mean, she wasn't ready to answer that. What's it mean to be reconciled? I'm about ready to do that here, but I won't. What's it mean to be? So finally he says, reconciled means to get along with each other. And I can't think of anything better for us to do in a new year but to get along with each other. He says, that's what the Bible tells us to do. And he says, that's what, of course, I with my great seminary experience, I said, now, Dad, reconciled is like a bank statement. And it's where you're trying to balance one side with the other. He says, now, don't give me that stuff, John. He says, it means to get along. And I said, yeah, I think you're right, Dad. I think he's got a really good point. We are to be reconciled with each other. We're to get along as we move forward in 2014. And we get to hear those words even today as we understand this calling that Jesus puts in our lives. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making His appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. It's His table that we get to sit at today. Because of the reconciliation He already did, we now get to pick up that banner to continue on this ministry of reconciliation, to be ambassadors for Christ, and to get along. I'm not sure how many more years Dad has left in the pulpit at Hanley Baptist Church, but it was sacred time when we were there. Now, we were looking at our watches, and it was 11:59, and he wasn't even close to being done. And so it went about 12:08, and he says, what time is it? I said, well, Dad, it's almost time. So we gathered up in a circle, and we prayed together. We prayed together that there would be an opportunity for us to still be ambassadors for Christ, for us to live out this ministry of reconciliation, understanding that Jesus was chosen to be the light and the King, and that we were chosen to be adopted in and to be heirs with Him, even as we sit around His table this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Lord, when You have felt that we just don't get it, we thank You that You never give up on Your children. We feel pushed down and kept out from time to time, O Lord. Thank You that You lift us up and You see us safely across. Thank You, O Lord, that You continue to give the promise of new life in Christ, and that that gift cannot be kept from You. Almighty God, thank You for the love that You extend to us through Jesus the Christ. May we accept Your love. May we live for You in this year. Amen.